And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, listeners from coast to coast and worldwide, to a very special edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Today is Friday, the 22nd day of June 2012. I'm Doug Hagman. The Hagman Report is minus a co-host. We are minus a co-host today. Joe Hagman is actually, my son, is actually preparing to get married tomorrow, so he is doing his own thing this evening. So that said, I've got to tell you that he's not going to be with us. I'm going to be running the ship tonight, pressing the buttons. Watch out, because when I do that, bad things happen. Folks, the Hagman & Hagman Report is heard live, as you know, every weekday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. We are heard from coast to coast. We're one of the fastest growing radio programs right now on the Internet. And we can be found on the Internet. Our website is homelandsecurityus.com. That's the home of the Northeast Intelligence Network. And I'm just this show offers the premier father-son investigator program on the Internet. Tonight we've got a very important show. I'm very proud to have the guests that we have. I'm very proud to have on who we have. We've got actually going to have four guests on this evening. And they're going to be basically taking turns. However, we've got attorney Larry Klayman, and we've got Mike Voltz. Attorney Larry Klayman is actually the attorney for Mike Voltz in a lawsuit filed against Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to have Captain Pamela Barnett on, and she is the founder of the website ObamaChallenge.com. She's been a plaintiff in multiple eligibility cases. She is the CEO of ConstitutionActionFund.org. And also we have a friend of mine I've got to know very well over the last year or so, George Miller. He's the vice president of ObamaBallotChallenge.com and ConstitutionActionFund.org. And don't worry, I'll have all of these websites posted on our own website, so you can go right to them and peer through them. First of all, let me go one by one. Do we have Attorney Klayman on? Okay. We've got Mike on, I know. Do we have retired Captain Pamela Barnett on?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, we can hear you loud and clear. And of course, we've got George. Let me ask you again, is Larry Klayman in?
Not yet.
All righty. All right. So I actually have got, we got four people, three guests, and so we've got a rogue person. Whoever I plugged in, you'll have to excuse me. Just hang in there and just listen. Let me see here. We've got a caller. Let me see here. Is this Attorney Larry Klayman? No, you're not. I could tell you. Okay, just hold on, please. All right. All these buttons, and they're all the red, too. I love it. Okay, folks. Attorney Klayman is not checked in yet. Retired Captain Pamela Barnett, why don't you take us first? Why don't you open up? This is a roundtable. Folks, this is a roundtable discussion about the eligibility or lack thereof of the putative president of the United States. And every time I say those words, I want to just hurl. Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something, okay? I don't want to get into politics. I just want to stick to facts tonight. Politics, you know, we go after the truth wherever it leads. I don't care if it's a Democrat we're after, or a Republican, independent. I don't care. I don't care if it's a black person, a white person, a green person. Whatever the truth is, that's what we're after. That's what this program is all about. But we got a problem, folks. And here's the problem. We get a guy in the White House, we don't even know what his name is, legal name is. That's a problem. And while the country is falling down around us, that's a problem. So with that said, we have four people brought on to this network tonight, this show tonight, to talk about what they are doing to fix this problem. And with that, let me introduce Captain Pamela Barnett. Captain Pamela Barnett, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I haven't been on your show for a while, and
I missed you. Now, you're a very articulate speaker, and folks, Captain Barnett served in, I can't remember, the Air Force?
Army.
Army, okay. All right. And again, you're the founder of ObamaBallotChallenge.com, and you've sued, you've been a plaintiff in a number of eligibility cases. So you know what's going on, you know how to do things, and thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for your service to our country now in this stuff. But Pamela, take it away. I'll shut up now. Go ahead and take it away.
Well, the reason why I had contacted you, Doug, is to go ahead and give a recap on what's going on with the ballot challenges across the country, and to also bring attention to the Florida ballot challenge specifically. We had a hearing last Monday for the case of Mike Volz, and Mike Volz is on the line. And Larry, at Obama Ballot Challenge, actually George Miller had made first contact with Larry Klayman. Larry Klayman is the founder of Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch.
That's
and
right.
And also had a character made of him on the White House. It was a White House series on TV.
West Wing.
Made a character out of him. So he has.
That's right.
He's a little famous in his own right, and a great attorney. Has been getting after information, suing for information from the federal government for a long time, and George was able to meet him, and we were able to get him to sign on to asked him to sign on to representing Mike Volz in Florida. Because he's a licensed attorney in Florida.
Okay, all right.
And also he has history there. It's the Bush v. Gore lawsuit in 2000. And
wait, who has history? Larry Klayman does, right?
Yes. He has history with election law in Florida. It was a great marriage of people being put together. Mike Volz is a real patriot. He initially filed this lawsuit on his own, and then Larry Klayman came in and amended the complaint to perfect it better, and then we had the hearing last Monday. And we wanted Larry to talk specifically about the more technical issues regarding the case. I don't know if he's on yet.
Well, let me double-check here. Boo, do, 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 do. You know, I'm looking at numbers and I'm looking at red buttons. We've got, we've got.
Pretend you want.
Let's see. Let me just double check something here. Does anyone know how to sing? I was going to say just fill the airway with.
Mike, would you like to speak a little bit more into your case?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Well, you know what? Let me check something here. I think we might have Larry on. No, we don't. I'm sorry, we don't. But go ahead. So, Mike, you're a plaintiff. You're suing the President of the United States, but not as the President of the United States, basically. You're suing. Well, no matter how you slice it, he is the President of the United States, but you're suing this guy.
Yes, I'm actually suing him as a Democrat Party candidate for president.
Okay, you're a Democrat? Okay, you're a candidate?
Yes, I'm a registered Democrat.
Okay, in Florida?
Yes.
for president.
That's a necessity for the contested election lawsuit. In Florida, it's a closed primary, so only, you know, Democrats can vote for, you know, even independents cannot vote in the primary in Florida.
Right.
You know, okay. Only, you know, and it has to be a voter that could vote for Barack Obama in the primary.
Okay.
So it has to be a Democrat Party member.
Well, why don't you tell us, I mean, why you and how did you get involved in this?
Well, you know, it started with a real bad feeling, you know, upon first seeing him, you know, ever, you know.
Okay.
You know, it was just a sense of foreboding. And then, you know, when things started to come to the surface about doubts about where he was born and things like that, and then their questioning of John McCain back in 2008.
That's right.
Rather than Barack Obama, which is kind of incredible. And as a matter of fact, that Resolution 511 was sponsored by Barack Obama.
That's right.
You know, so
Hillary
Clinton it's all part of the plan.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Of course, Leo D'Onofrio had a huge, you know, impact on my knowledge of this, and he started it, and I went and studied it more, and I would say that I could probably teach a class on this subject.
Well,
of who is a natural born citizen.
Okay. Mike, hold on here. I'm going to give Larry this one. I'm going to give this one more try with.
Oh, Larry's on. Great.
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm kind of flying blind here. Let me check. Is this Larry Klayman? Hello. Is this Larry Klayman?
No, this is Chris Farrell.
Okay. I'm going to have to put you back on hold, sir.
Very good.
All right. All right. Well, Mike. All right. Okay. First of all, what party are you registered with as for the presidency?
Democrat. I'm a Democrat.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. And so you had this bad feeling about Obama at the beginning. No answers forthcoming. We have.
All right.
Okay. Now, according to my stats, my research, and tell me, Pam and Mike, you tell me if this is true. To date, there have been 143 civil actions taken against Barack Hussein Obama with respect to his eligibility status. There are 9 pending cases, including this one in Florida. Does that sound about right?
There's maybe some more pending cases, and there's going to be a lot more when it comes to the general election. It really depends on... We've actually have plaintiffs in each state that want to bring action, but a lot of people have been hit hard by the economy and just don't have the money to pay the filing fees and don't have the money. They don't feel confident. A lot of these people don't feel confident to bring lawsuits on their own. And so it's been very difficult to get attorneys to take these cases pro bono. So Part two, also why I went on the show tonight, I have to bring attention to the fact that we really need funding if we're going to be successful in these ballot challenges. And these ballot challenges, they're a lot different than in 2008. All of the lawsuits were brought after the ballots were already formed, and a lot of the lawsuits that came in now, we actually had standing because in many states and many statutes, it gave regular citizens standing to bring a lawsuit in the court against candidates.
Okay, Pamela, hold on. I'm going to ask you to hold on right there.
Sure.
I do believe this is, in fact, Attorney Larry Klayman. Attorney Klayman, is that you? Attorney Klayman, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, is this Attorney Larry Klayman?
Me?
No. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Hey, folks, you can't really fault me. That was the same area code. We have actually 2 phone banks, and they're both full. All right. Pamela, go on. Keep keep going.
So regarding the status of the ballot challenges, there are many on appeal and many still being orchestrated in the lower courts.
Right.
And I can go into that
maybe
a little bit later. I think it'd be good to talk about Florida since we just had the hearing last Monday. And
right.
I think Mike could probably speak to the really important things regarding what happened at the hearing and regarding some of the things that the judge had requested regarding from both parties and what the attorneys failed to do for Barack Obama in representing him. Would you like to talk more, Mike, about that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
It was a momentous day, I will say that. And I also have to say that the judge, Terry Lewis, was very, very professional, very fair, much different than I've seen in any of these cases. I've seen some videos of some of these, where they've appeared in front of these, whether they be an election board, an administrative judge. I mean, this is a real circuit court, judge. So, and the Florida statutes are very, very strong in giving, electors or voters, standing to challenge elections. But you have to be within the statute. You have to follow the statute to the T, and not give them any opportunity to just dismiss you easily. That's the whole key. And a lot of these cases that I've seen have not been, fully within the statute and following the statute to the letter, thus giving the court the opportunity to throw you out.
All right.
I'm not allowing that because I follow the statute to the T. And I have perfect standing. Basically, what the other side is saying, they never, of course, which is kind of a joke, and I hope the judge took notice. They never said that their client was eligible. All they did was say that I couldn't sue. I couldn't contest it. I had no standing. And the reason why they say I have no standing is they're saying that Barack Obama was not nominated. See, in Florida,
it's a technicality.
And that technicality is totally false because I'm totally within the statute. The statute in Florida is state statute 102.168. That's the contestive election or nomination, okay?
Right.
Election or nomination. Now, when there's only one candidate in Florida, the statutes say that that candidate shall be considered nominated. And Barack Obama was the only candidate on the Democratic Party for the Democratic Party primary, and by Florida statute is considered nominated by statute in plain English. In the plain writing of the statute.
All right.
Also, the primary election, the definition of a primary election in federal statutes and also in Florida state statutes says that a primary election is for the purpose of nominating a candidate to the Democratic National Convention. And that's exactly what I pled. That he was nominated by the Florida Democratic delegation to the Democratic National Convention. So, that part of this is total nonsense.
Okay.
See, all the statutes in Florida, they fit together very well, and it's a really extensive election statute there. Presidential Preference Primary Selection Committee, it says in the statutes that the candidate, if he's the only candidate, then his name will not be printed on the ballot. See, there was no primary election in Florida, but to still give electors the chance to contest elections or the eligibility of a candidate, they say it's contest of election or nomination, okay? And there's a continuation of that clause where it says anyone who's the only one on the ballot and thus there is no primary election will be considered nominated.
Okay.
So therefore, I have perfect standing.
All right. Now let me just recap for this for the listeners, because we've got a panel here consisting of Pamela Barnett, George Miller, and, of course, Mike Volz, who is a plaintiff in a lawsuit against Barack Hussein Obama. This past Monday, a hearing was held, and was provided over by a Leon County Circuit Court Judge Terry Lewis. The hearing was about a motion to dismiss and to distinguish or to delineate the nature of natural-born citizenship. This motion to dismiss was in reply to a complaint to get Obama off the ballot. Is that a fair assessment of what happened Monday? I mean, is that setting up for Monday? Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you got Judge Terry Lewis, who's big time in law. He's experienced in law. He's the same man, by the way, who ordered Catherine Harris to stop counting the ballot in the year 2000, the Gore v. Bush case. And, by the way, Larry Klayman was on that case as well on behalf of the Bush camp. And that's, when it escalated all the way to the Supreme Court. But that said, here's the picture, folks. Here is, on the phone, Democratic presidential candidate Mike Volz. In court Monday with his attorney, Larry Klayman.
I'm just a voter.
Well,
he's not the candidate.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. But here you are in court with your attorney, Larry Klayman, responding to a motion to dismiss and to delineate the natural born citizenship definition, I suppose.
Right.
What the heck happened Monday? Because that hearing, I heard about it on Monday, and then I got emails about it on Tuesday, and I got more emails, and then George called me, and so what happened? I mean, just take it away. What happened?
Well, it took a totally different direction. The judge in a phone conference had asked us to, brief him about why it took two citizen parents to be a natural-born citizen and thus be eligible to be president. And when we walked in, all the other side did was claim that I had no standing because Obama was not nominated.
Uh-huh.
And they tried to mix up general election with primary election. We were not pleading that Obama was nominated to be the president by the DNC.
Okay.
That comes in the Democratic National Convention. We are saying that he was nominated at the primary to the Democratic National Convention.
Okay.
And the interesting thing, Doug, is that they had an opportunity to put forth a brief to explain why Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, is a natural-born citizen, and they did not provide anything.
In their brief, they tried to claim Wong Kim Ark, but I'm claiming Wong Kim Ark. But anyway, they did it in their brief.
No, I thought they did not. Was that a more recent brief?
That was the brief before that hearing. But in that hearing, they went totally with the, that I didn't have standing.
Okay, on your website. When I watched the video, and folks, we're going to have these websites up on HomelandSecurityUS.com. When I watched the video, I took it, their defense was, number one, there is no basis in state law for the challenge. Number two, federal law basically prohibits or trumps the state law, which is totally, that's kind of how they let out of the gate with those objections or those reasons.
Exactly true, and that's the way they're trying to defend every case.
Right. Yeah. Now, that's what they're arguing in a lot of different states. They're trying to argue that only Congress can control presidential candidates on the ballot, and that's absolutely not true. There's Blacker, I believe it's Blacker versus McPherson, which allows states to control the...
Okay.
Or is it McPherson versus Blacker?
Yes, yes.
To control the presidential candidate's ballots. And then also within the Constitution, it gives the states the express right to do that. So they're trying to totally devoid the Constitution and totally ignore it and totally ignore states' rights in running elections is what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, is this typical? I mean, is Florida typical for the other 49, not 57, but 49 states that we've got?
What do you mean, is it typical?
Is it a typical, okay, the defense that you witnessed or the way the Obama's attorneys came out and said...
Yeah, they've defended the same way every time.
That's, okay, thank you, okay. And never bringing up, really... Never really addressing the core issue.
No. Well, see what they're saying, Mr. Hagman, is that it's a political question. Okay, a political question is, but if you read Massachusetts versus Rhode Island, is a question that is determined by a government entity in the performance of their constitutional duties. Okay, and they're trying to claim that. You know, we the little people have no right to challenge eligibility of the president. You know, even though our state statutes say that we do, you know, that is preempted by, you know, by the supremacy clause of the Constitution saying that, you know, the Constitution, they're saying that the Constitution says the Electoral College decides that, which is nonsense because there's nothing in Article 2 about the Electoral College or Amendment 12, or Title
or
III U.S. Code,
party.
Section 15, that says that the electors have any responsibility to determine eligibility. There's nothing in there about that.
So, Mike, if I can ask you, and Pam, if I can ask you, who does, then?
The states have every right to conduct election. They have all the discretion, you know, about that, about elections. They have all discretion short of nominating or electing or appointing anybody who is ineligible by Article 2 of the Constitution. If you read McPherson versus Blacker, you know, which is 146 U.S. 1, on page 35, they say specifically the limits of state power is to appoint ineligible persons or elect, which goes also to electing, okay, ineligible persons of Article 2. Ineligible persons of Article 2 include presidential electors who are, you know, members of the federal government or trustees of the federal government, such as senators or U.S. representatives.
Okay.
And the only other ineligible persons of Article 2 are those that are not natural-born citizens to be president. One is to prevent federal influence into the election, and the other is to prevent foreign influence into the White House. And that's the way the Constitution is set up.
Right. Exactly. That's the perfect case.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. George Miller, Pam Barnett, Mike Voltz, these people are the salt of the earth. I don't believe, George, you're not an attorney, and Mike, I know you're not an attorney. I know you're a businessman. Pam, I know you're not an attorney.
That's correct.
Okay, so, you know, here's what I find amazing. You got three people that are the salt of the earth, that are citizens. Mike at the top, as I understand it, he's a businessman. He's at the top of his game business-wise. Perhaps, I mean, maybe that might be an over-discrimination, or over-description, that is. But you know, you're doing what others should be doing. You're going out there.
I'm doing what lawyers should be doing. Where are the lawyers?
And you're quoted.
Yeah,
where are they?
Did they lose all loyalty to country and to the Constitution when they become an attorney? I don't understand.
Yeah,
did they become cowards? I think they become cowards.
They are cowards. They become part of the system.
Right.
They become part of the system.
yeah, they're afraid to lose their bar license, blah, 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 because,
right.
you know, when they become an attorney, it's so political in these state courts and these federal courts. And really, they're just... There was a few minor exceptions, like we have Larry Klayman, Orly Tates, Van Arian, Mario Puzo, who else?
Mark
Hatfield.
Hatfield.
Yeah, and it's just a handful of attorneys nationwide that have stepped to the forefront to try to defend our country against a foreign usurper. It's amazing.
All right. Now, with that, I'm going to kind of go off script here, not that we had one to begin with. I'm going to bring George Miller on. George Miller is an official with the Ventura County Tea Party, and he's also, again, he's a Christian conservative, I believe. But, George, are you there?
I'm listening.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm going to take you to the proverbial woodshed here. As a Tea Party member, why is the Tea Party AWOL when it comes to this issue?
Well, I would hardly say the whole Tea Party is AWOL. For example, the Surprise Arizona Tea Party is the one that held Joe Arpaio's feet to the fire and got him to sign on to do the cold case posse, which is probably the best thing the Tea Party has done during this entire nightmare we've had in the last 4 years with AKA Obama.
I'll stipulate to that, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 years ago, if you logged on to one of the major Tea Party sites like Tea Party Nation or Tea Party Patriots and talked about this, you'd get off the same day. That is no longer the case. For example, Tea Party Nation has one of the largest discussion forums in the world on the topic, as does TeaParty.org, as does Harry Riley's site, the Constitutional Emergency. The Tea Parties are far more receptive than they were before. However, there's a strong undercurrent of GOP orthodoxy within the Tea Party. They don't want to rock the boat, and they've been pretty much instructed by the GOP not to challenge Obama's eligibility for the following reason. Most GOP officials I've talked to, and by the way, I'm a Republican state delegate in the state of California, by the way, and I'm on a local level as well, and I'm also a member of the CRA, which is the California Republican Assembly. They feel that there are more votes to be lost than gained by standing firm on this issue. Their reasoning is as follows. The people that are opposed to Obama on eligibility grounds are going to vote Republican anyway 99% of the time. So you're not going to get their votes by catering to them. However,
so the hell with the rule of law, right? Hell
exactly.
With the rule of law.
There are people, conversely, on the other side who won't vote Republican if they make a stink about it. So they've carefully calculated and decided it's not worth it. They are AWOL, definitely. But more and more Tea Partiers are getting heavy on this thing. But the problem is that most of them believe that nothing will happen. And the fact that we've had over 100 defeats so far in various cases tends to reinforce that. So what we did, Mike and I and Larry and Pamela, is, and also Sam Sewell, by the way, who's our Florida ballot challenge manager, who runs the SteadyDripBlogspot.com, put together this case. We found out about Mike really by accident. I just found it by trolling through emails on different people in the so-called Bertha community, and I found out we had a real hot property that was about to file a suit. So I talked to him and asked him if he'd be receptive to a lawyer for free. And guess what? He didn't argue with me. So we were lucky enough to find Larry Klayman. I've followed Larry Klayman's career for years. I mean,
right.
I'm in awe of the man. I really am. He's just amazing. And for whatever flaws that he has, which are readily criticized by our opponents and even some of our friends.
Yeah, just Google his name. You'll find his flaws first, but go on.
Of course, but this man is larger than life. This man is the founder of Judicial Watch, probably the best-known consumer advocacy organization in the world, the founder of Freedom Watch, which is a later version of that. He's the only man who has ever successfully sued a sitting president, Bubba Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Worked on the Gore versus Bush case, as you accurately mentioned earlier, on the prevailing side. Knows Florida law very well, is a licensed attorney in the state of Florida, is also a rabid anti-jihadist as well. I mean, this man has sued OPEC. He actually went over to Switzerland to serve OPEC with papers 3 weeks ago.
Good.
He has sued the state of Iran. When I first met Larry in his office, Tony Dulce and I went down there to meet with him to cut a deal. And we walked into this office, which is not even his own office. He's squatting in a, basically looks like some kind of an office for a Jewish foundation or something like that. And I get in there, I see all these funny-looking guys, and turns out they're the Iranian opposition that he was meeting with. So they came out looking at me suspiciously, and Tony and I filed in to talk about an eligibility case, all within 15 minutes. So Larry's been on board this thing. In fact, when I first talked to him, he was trying to organize an anti-Obama rally in Washington, D.C., which unfortunately fizzled. But we stayed in touch and talked occasionally, and I tried to get him to come up to the plate, but he wasn't answering my calls. As luck would have it, I went to my church's Christmas party last December. Sitting on a couch in Camarillo, California, is Larry Klayman and his girlfriend. So I immediately recognized him from his photos. I walked over there and sat down, started talking to him, and immediately had an excellent rapport.
All right.
And after about a half an hour, I said, this is the man for the job.
We also wanted him for the California. We also had a California ballot challenge, which we're getting ready to take up to appeal now, which I was one of the plaintiffs. We wanted to also hire Larry to represent us in California, but however, funding all became an issue. And our issue has always been funding. We have the people, the plaintiffs, we have the desire, the fire to go ahead with commitment.
Pam, let me stop you right there. Let me ask Mike a question. Mike, you didn't doze off on me, did you?
No, okay. I'm right here.
All right. Let me ask you a question. As a plaintiff in this case in Florida, how much out-of-pocket money did you spend, you know, yourself? Did you yourself spend out-of-pocket on going against Obama, if I can ask that?
I'm not really going to answer that, but I'll say this. I spent 3 years' worth of studying, you know, to become like a doctor of Article II.
Okay.
And also the Florida election statutes. You know, I know them better than the attorneys on the other side, I think, because, you know, they tried to make a claim that, you know, Obama wasn't nominated, and Florida State Statute 101.252 says that he was nominated, and I don't think they counted on me knowing that statute. But
we're on that. Okay, I'm going to come back to the money issue, because I understand that there's a money value to time. And folks, please understand, you know, because when we do a show, we might spend 2 hours during the show, but you know, there's probably three times that doing the prep. But that said, Mike, okay, you came out.
Let me say this, Mr. Hagman.
Yeah.
I want to thank very much Pamela Barnett and George Miller for arranging to have Mr. Klayman represent me in court. It was a real experience to see him operate in his, he was, you can see the video at ObamaBallotChallenge.com. It's pretty good. You know, a couple really good things he did. One of the things we were interviewed by the regular press after the thing, which, you know, that was a big thing, because they're pretty much ignoring it, you know. And regular press, I read the next day in the Tallahassee newspaper a very factual account of what happened at that thing, and that it was about that Obama's father was not a citizen, and that's the first time I've seen that in the regular media, you know. And he also talked about Rubio. And that's a great thing, because, you know, it makes them squirm. It makes them squirm, because now, you know, the Tallahassee papers have reported that Larry Klayman was talking about Rubio not being eligible either. And it's I'm sure it's making it. And then the next day they were talking about Rubio being vetted or not being vetted. What's the answer? You know, very next day after that. So I think people are listening.
Good. All right. Well, okay, good. All right.
What we tried to do is we formed Constitution Action Fund.org, which is actually a Florida nonprofit, to raise money for this Florida case and other eligibility cases, such as the California one. And hopefully we can also get some money for the Arizona case on appeal. And the sky is the limit. If we get the funding, we have the people to file these elections. Now it's kind of a twist now, bring to the forefront something that happened with this ballot challenge that has not happened before, and is that Sheriff Arpaio,
yes,
of Maricopa County, and his lead investigator, Mike Zullo, actually signed affidavits for this Florida case, for the Mike Wolf's case. They actually submit these affidavits that actually say they believe that Obama's birth certificate is a computer-generated forgery, and that his Selective Service card, which is his draft registration card, is also a forgery because of the date stamp is incorrect for the year. It's supposed to be a four-digit number, and it's only two-digit.
That's correct.
And then also, they also doubt the veracity of the Connecticut Social Security number that he's using.
All right.
So this is the first time that we have this, and now we've gone through the primary challenges, but now we have this new tool to use and use these affidavits and election challenges in each state. We can use these affidavits in each state.
Okay, but wouldn't your problem, and Mike and George and Pam, I mean, wouldn't the problem still be the issue of, quote, standing? I mean,
let me tell you this, okay? Let me tell you this. If your suit does not conform to the contested election statutes of any state, they will easily swat it away. Okay?
Right.
That's what happened with Liberty Legal Foundation in Tennessee. Okay? I don't know where this guy Irions got his law degree, but a simple search of Tennessee statutes for contestable election tell me that the contestable election can only be done by a candidate of the contested one's own party, that meaning he has to be a candidate for president that is a Democrat. Okay?
That's
all
what
right. The statute in Tennessee says. Well, you know, the first thing is the guy filed a lawsuit that said the plaintiff was a Republican candidate. Right there, he's done. Okay? Right
sure.
there, he's done.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
So well, really what we need is expertise and an en route to statutory support in the state where we're filing. We had that in California. We had that in Georgia. We've had that in New Hampshire. And we've had that in other states. However, a lot of these judges are ruling. Their rulings are tyrannical. They completely ignore facts, completely ignore law. They pick and choose.
Also.
They cherry pick what they want to use so they can excuse, dismiss the case, and get it off their desk.
So,
but I will say this. I don't think that's going to happen in my case. I think Judge Terry Lewis is an upstanding judge, and I really believe that he will not make a decision based on politics. And his demeanor in court was excellent. And I believe that he knows that our argument was right, and he is giving us a chance to prove it. And,
okay,
you know,
expand on that. Where does your case stand right now?
Our case stands on proving that Barack Obama was actually nominated per the statutes, per the contestable election statutes of Florida.
So it's a technical. Yeah, I got you.
Okay. And that,
yeah.
And
that
once
happens,
I achieve that, I will be the first one to achieve standing on this ruling.
So, just to sum it up for the listeners out there, okay, this case is different than the 143 other cases out
it's
there.
It's totally different.
Because, again, tell the listeners again why this is different, and folks, listen to this carefully.
Because the Florida election statutes are very specific with respect to who can contest an election and why and how you can gain standing. And I have satisfied every point of those statutes to a T. I'm a Florida elector, which means a voter,
right.
Challenging a primary election of the winning candidate who was nominated per Florida statutes, Barack Obama. I have filed it after the period of certification. They certified the election 10 days after the primary, which was January 31st. So they certified it on February 14th. I filed the case on February 15th. I have 10 days, you know, between those, the 14th and 10 days. So I filed it right after that. I filed it in the correct venue of Leon County Circuit Court. I am totally within the statutes, and they cannot get rid of me easily. They have to make a decision.
That
I implore all of you to support Larry Klayman.
Okay.
I implore everybody to support Larry Klayman and push this case, because no matter what happens, it's going to get appealed. If we win, they'll get to appeal it. If we lose, we're going to appeal it. And
well,
if
right.
I don't think we're going to lose, because I'm totally within the law.
If you win, I mean, this is going to send shockwaves across.
Oh, shockwaves! It's huge.
All right, and you're saying you can win by the very fact that Judge Terry Lewis is a fair man, number one, and number
yes.
two, you've got the law on your side, the statute
yes.
on your side.
The truth sets me free, and
right.
Larry Klayman, I believe, is a lover of the truth.
All right. Well, I do as well. I mean, I've followed his career.
I mean, I'm talking about Terry Lewis. I'm sorry.
Terry
Lewis is a lover of the truth, Judge Terry Lewis.
Okay.
If you read anything about that judge, I cannot find anything negative about him. Nothing.
All right.
His demeanor in the court was excellent.
Well, one thing I did pick up on, and Mike, you can speak to this, was the it seemed like Obama's attorneys went first. And laid out their case or laid out their objections with respect to the no basis in state law, which you knocked down, and the federal law taking precedence over state law, which you know is not true. But I sensed kind of an unexpected. It'd be like somebody meeting someone a little bit more, a little bit bigger, and a little bit stronger than they thought they were. And I suspected that was the case. Their attitude, like, holy cow, this guy knows his business. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think they're very worried.
Okay.
I think they're very worried about what the judge will rule here, because I believe that the judge knows I am right as far as Obama being nominated, because it is right, and it is the law, and it is, I mean, if you look up primary election in federal statutes as well as Florida statutes, in Florida statutes is 97.021, number 28, a primary election is to nominate a candidate, okay? And the contestive election statute says election or nomination. So I have perfect standing, and they are scared to death.
Okay.
The only way they can get around me is if the judge is somehow, you know, gotten to
co-opted.
And I don't believe that'll happen.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a statement there. First of all, I'm not going to badmouth the other attorneys in the other cases. I've seen some very good cases, and some of them, in fact, did have standing and were dismissed anyway. For example, the cases in Georgia were valid. They had standing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were.
The case in New Jersey was an excellent case that Abuzo put together. They were not dismissed because of any shortcomings in the legal strategy or the standing. They were dismissed just because of breaking the law. You know,
okay.
And you can tell the judge, George, let me interrupt
that?
There. You can
yeah.
tell the judges in those cases, when they walked into the courtroom, you could tell what the decision was going to be
oh,
by
you
their demeanor.
Right. yeah, ditto with some of Orly's cases. She had some good cases also, and they were dismissed for totally illegitimate reasons. When you see Obama's attorney actually say in a courtroom that even Mickey Mouse could get on the ballot in New Jersey, it's enough to make you laugh, if not cry. And to say that the birth certificate is irrelevant, you don't have to show any proof, it's beyond ridiculous. And to say that Obama was born in Hawaii when there's absolutely no proof of it, and he's a natural-born citizen when it overcomes hundreds of years of settled law, it's absolute balderdash.
Right.
So
we're looking for one honest judge, and so hopefully what Mike Woltz is saying is that Terry Lewis might be our honest judge.
Right. This case did not happen by accident. Pamela and I have scoured the whole country looking for the right jurisdiction, the right judge, the right plaintiff, and the right attorney. We don't know how we can do any better. If this doesn't do it, I'm going to become a Carl Swenson. I'm going to do something else. You all know who Carl Swenson is, right? Carl's the man that's fought this thing since day one. He did the grand juries. He did cases. He put $15,000 of his own money into the case. He hired Mark Hatfield. He did everything right, followed all the rules. He's even a county chairman of the Republican Party. And I think something snapped in him when that case was dismissed and the appeal was dismissed, too. Now he's going to go off and do something different. I don't know exactly what it is yet. But he's lost faith in our judicial system. And I think that he's kind of a leading indicator of what could happen in this country if our judicial system fails and the rule of law fails and we don't follow the U.S. Constitution. I've had Republican officials, high Republican officials in California, no names mentioned, tell me that this is a distraction, that there are more important issues. What the hell could be more important than the chief executive of the most powerful country in the world being illegitimate, not qualified for the office? And it shows every day, proves John Jay and the founders right, because the man clearly does not represent the interests, hopes, dreams, or aspirations of the United States of America. It's just amazing.
Barack Obama was exactly the man they were trying to prevent from the office.
Precisely.
That requirement.
This is why we've spent 4 years working on this issue, and even my wife tells me I'm wasting my time.
Well, okay, it reminds me of that movie Die Hard, in a way, where John McClane finally gets the attention of the police officer and realizes that there are terrorists in the building. Welcome to the party, pal. You know, a little late to the party, less, but welcome.
Well, now, there is a hidden bonus. Here's a hidden bonus. Whether we win or lose on this case or other cases, we are getting the word out to the people.
Right.
Our officials, that we know their game. And it gives us the right to escalate this problem to another means of solution, if necessary, if the court cases failed. Now, there's a reason that Pamela went on to ballot challenge instead of eligibility cases. It's because every single federal court told us that we don't have standing because we can't prove that Barack Obama caused us unique specific harm by being elected and running for the presidency of the United States. There's no such constraint in getting standing in ballot challenges, which is why we did get standing in some of them. I would prefer knock him out in eligibility, because if that's true, it not only means he can't run, it means he's thrown out as president and everything he ever signed is nullified, including Kagan, Sotomayor, Obamacare, and all that other crap.
Well, and we understand that. I guess my question, here it is. We brought this up in 2008, in the summer of 2008, but apparently, no Republican, no conservative had any fuzz on their kiwis, or at least not enough to go after this in any fashion, and even some of the conservative talk show hosts have been silenced.
Yeah, look at
all
John
of them
McCain.
Have been silent.
look at John McCain, where we find out that he knew of election fraud in several key states, and then he did nothing about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the 2008 election. And he knew that Obama committed massive fraud in even winning that election. The Obama camp committed massive fraud.
They're all on the same side, Pamela. This is a power play. This is a power play of the government over we the people.
Yeah.
And the Republicans and the Democrats are on the same side.
Yeah,
they're on the same side.
Yeah, so now it's the American people against the globalist government.
Yeah, I think it's
the United States of America, globalist criminal government.
Yeah, I think there's slightly different reasons, as I explained a little bit earlier. The Republicans are afraid to do this. They're afraid they can't win. They'll be made fools of, that Obama will suddenly come up with a good birth certificate. They're afraid of being called racist. They're afraid of losing. They just have
right.
no
right.
guts whatsoever.
Here, let me read something to you. I sent away back in early 2010 for some records of Obama's birth to Hawaii. I was on a website of somebody called Miss Tickley. I don't know if you guys know about
that.
Yeah.
Okay. And she made some very good points about some of the best salient points I've seen about that cold and other things about the seal
short
being incised rather than embossed and things like that. I sent away to Hawaii, and here is a letter I got from a Senator Fred Hemmings, who is the Republican, the only Republican senator from Hawaii, okay? It says, to whom it may concern. So it's a form letter, okay?
Okay.
Dwelling on the non-issue of President Obama's place of birth is harmful. His birth was reported in Honolulu papers and has been validated by Hawaii state officials. You are hurting those of us with legitimate concerns with President Obama's ultra-left agenda by the dogged pursuit of this non-issue. Please stop and concentrate your efforts on the huge and vexing problems that Obama is creating by his disastrous policies.
Well,
that's what
like
a Republican senator from Hawaii sent me.
They don't see the cause and effect relationship.
Right.
They're idiots. They're on the same side, okay?
Right.
They don't understand the problem. And the other thing is that Obama needs to be certainly determined to be ineligible. The precedent of his presidency cannot be allowed to stand, that
exactly.
someone with a foreign father could be president.
Yes, that means any anchor baby.
It cannot be allowed to stand.
That means that any anchor baby could be president.
Right,
exactly.
So anyone and anchor baby is an anchor. Having anchor babies in the United States is an industry.
Yeah,
people from Iran come over, have their baby over here.
Yeah, we've been
people
kind of
from Afghanistan.
We've been kind of
from Saudi Arabia, so they can have their American citizenship.
Yeah.
So and Obama's the perfect example of why we need a natural born citizen. We need to have citizen parents.
I think we need to backtrack a little bit and explain some of these terms, because not all of our listeners are up on all these issues as we are. Would you mind if I spend a couple of minutes and explain that?
No, look, George, I think it's important for you to do so, but let's do this after the top of the hour break. We're up against a hard break right now, because I think it's so important, because people will a lot of listeners will say, well, wait a minute, what if he was born in Hawaii? Well, that still doesn't matter, and so on. So there's some definitions to talk about. I think it's very important. Folks, can you stay with us? Stay with me until to the next hour. Into the next hour.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Awesome, sir. Are there any callers with questions?
Yeah, I believe.
Producer Bettina Viviano, she's a Hollywood producer, has been on hold for quite a while. She's the one that made the definitive movie about the fraud in the 2000 Democratic.
Okay.
I would love for you to get her on.
We'll bring her on. I apologize. I'm down a co-host and an engineer, and so just bear with me. We'll bring her on. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, is heard live every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. Our very special guest tonight, George Miller, Pam Barnett, and Mike Voltz, plaintiff in a case actually suing Obama and expecting to win. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back after these short messages. Stay tuned. Oh, and before we take a break, I just want to let the audience know this. 2 minutes, about 3.5 minutes before airtime, I received notification from my internet service provider. And please, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm about to tell you. About 2.5 minutes before the show, I received a notice from my internet service provider. They are, according to the notice I received, they are shutting me down in 48 hours because of objectionable content on
what?
Website because of objectionable content. I know we're up against the break, but let me read this letter, this email that I received. It says, "Dear Sir or Madam, our records indicate that you are responsible for HomelandSecurityUS.com domain and its content. We have received complaints about your domain name and the contents of your website. Upon reviewing the situation, we have found that they are in violation of Section 7 of your domain registration agreement. We understand that this can be a very sensitive topic, and there will be likely a difference of opinion as to the nature of the complaints. We are not making any determination in favor of either, but we do not wish to be involved in such disputes. As such, we ask that you move your website registration and hosting of this site to another provider that is not affiliated with, and I'll leave the name out for right now, and it's a subsidiaries.
You can use mine. They haven't done anything to me yet.
Okay. Well, it goes on to say, if you don't initiate this move in 48 hours, within 48 hours of this notice, you won't. There will be, or if you can initiate this move within 48 hours, there won't be any need for your downtime for your site. If the transfer is not initiated, we're going to suspend your services and take your website down. Okay, folks, that's because we speak the truth. We are under attack. I told you this 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that this organization was under attack. And if you follow the complaints, it goes right back to the people. It doesn't go back to Muslim terrorists. It does not go back to the Council on Islamic Relations. It does not go back to those people. It goes back to the very people that our guests tonight are talking about. With that, folks, a very angry and pardon my expression, but very pissed off Doug Hagman. We're going to be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave. 4physics.com.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook. Because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. and the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is Friday, June 22nd, 2012. No matter what they do to us on our website, we will survive. We'll just have to jump over the mountain, go around it, or plow through it. It doesn't matter. Plus, they're not going to silence us. They're not going to silence us on the airwaves. That is for certain. And we will get to the bottom of whatever the beef might be. And it's interesting, folks, that they did not. They did not cite exactly what their problem was. They just simply says, we just don't want to get into it. And welcome to George Orwell's 1984 in the year 2012. But I'm not going to dwell on that. We'll fix that. We'll handle that as we do with every other adversity. And I want to thank our listeners very much for standing behind us. We've got the most gracious, the most intelligent listeners in the world. With that, I want to bring back our special guest. We've got George Miller, Ventura County Tea Party. We've got Pam Barnett from the Obama Ballot Challenge. And we've got Mike Voltz, who's a plaintiff down in Florida against Barack Hussein Obama. Folks, welcome back to the program. And you said something about Ms. Viviano. Is that right? Did I pronounce her name right? Pamela?
Yes, Viviano.
Yes. Now, I believe I see her on here. She's on hold.
I don't know. George Miller said something about that she was on the phone.
She wrote me a couple of times saying she was on hold. And
okay.
She, listening to the program. Bettina, if you're listening, dial back in, okay? As I mentioned earlier, Bettina is a Hollywood producer. And
right.
I first met her through the eligibility movement. I was very impressed with the discussions. And then I saw a movie that she made where she exposed a lot of the corruption during the 2008 primaries, the Democratic primaries. By the way, Bettina is a Democrat. And she has seen the light, and she's on our side now. We actually have quite a few heavyweight Democrats come to our side in the last few years, and Bettina is certainly a very good one. So I'll break whenever she comes on.
Well, all right. Let me see if this is her, George. Is this Bettina?
Is this me?
Yes, is this Bettina?
Yes, it's
okay.
Bettina.
Check to make sure it's you now. I'm not sure.
No, I'm going
to
look. Hang on a second.
and folks, if you don't know who Bettina is, she is, as George says, a Hollywood producer. In fact, your name, I've been watching your product, I guess, in your involvement in this case with Mike, or, you know, you're on the periphery, I guess, in this case, but, you know, your production into who Barack Hussein Obama is. So what you've got to say is relevant, I think. Just welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report, by the way.
Well, first of all, you know, I called in because George and Pamela and Larry Klayman, I sat next to at an FOA Michelle Bachman lunch, and, you know, love him. Pamela I have, and George I haven't met yet, but am friends with through, you know, we're all brothers and sisters in this fight, and I love them, and I can't thank them enough for continuing this battle, no matter how overwhelming it is. And I think it will. And Mike, is it? Thank you. I don't know you, but I know that the Florida Challenge does have unique characteristics, and maybe this time we'll win, and God bless you for doing that. You know, it's. I knew this back, you know, in 2008 when we made our film for the Clinton camp about the voter fraud. You know, the Clintons were, and this is something I wanted to say because I want to make this clear in case you've got any liberals listening. It was the Clintons who started the eligibility thing. That was not started by the Republicans. It wasn't started by, there was no Tea Party. And, you know, everybody in the Clinton camp knew about this. There is just absolutely no possible way this guy is legitimate. It's a freaking joke. It's a joke that it's gone on this far. Because I know it. I've heard it directly out of their mouths. And the first guy to sue anybody was a Democrat, Phil Berg.
Right.
You know, I didn't honestly, he was a Hillary Democrat. You know they did it on Hillary's behalf. They knew. I mean, it's just the fact that we live in a country where this goes on, and I think Mike made the point, you know, I post this on my Facebook page, and I get yelled at all the time. You are not a conservative at all. You should switch parties if you think that this doesn't matter. Because the reason the forefathers put it in there was so that we didn't get ruled by a foreign national who had no love or compassion for our country. And it was exactly written for Obama. It was like they knew this guy would come along sometime. And so no matter what happens, and even if Romney, you know, wins and Obama's gone, I will continue fighting this because I want it exposed. I do not want the history books to be kind to him. I want him exposed for the fraud that he is, that I know he is. And, you know, liberals should just think about the fact that an innocent guy doesn't spend $3 million filing motions to dismiss. I mean, that's enough right there. What, if the guy was legit, he'd do what McCain did and go show his documents. You know, then they all sued him. So, anyway, I just called in to say I love all of you. Thank you so much for the endless fight, for being ridiculed, called birthers. Doug, I post your, you scare me to death, the stuff you write. It's so, and no, honestly, I don't sleep at night reading your stuff on Canada Free Press, but I post it all over my Facebook page. You're one of my heroes. And I want to thank everybody involved here because it's, if you would have told me 4 years ago I would have ended up in a fight like this, there's no way. I mean, literally for the survival of our country and to expose the biggest criminal joke, con job, and hoax on America in our history. He's a joke. He's a total fraud. He's a joke. He's destroying the country. And the only heroes in our country are the ones that are fighting to get him out. So I love you all. Thank you very much.
Wow. And that's a heck of a compliment coming from you. I follow you.
You'll never work in this town again, girl.
You know what? I've put up with it, but you know, 4 years ago I said to my mom, I'm going to get in trouble for this, and you know, what do I do? And she said, since when did you ever care what anyone thinks of you? And if they run me out of town, you know, I'll go be a blogger, or write something, or have a radio show, or I don't know what I'll do. But you know, country first, which the other side doesn't understand. Country first,
right.
Party
country
first.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, their motto is criminal globalists first.
Exactly.
Well,
they'll
cover up anything. They're covering up a guy. I mean, they're covering up, excuse me for saying this, but Holder and Obama murdered Brian Terry. And they're such hacks that they'll cover it up at the expense of the Terry family that are sitting there that want answers to why their son, their husband, their father is dead. And they're now calling it a Republican scheme when there's a dead body. Well, there's hundreds of dead bodies, two Americans, two Border Patrol agents, from what I understand. So, you know what? Enough of those people. It's a lifelong battle. The party's been infiltrated by lunatics. But anyway, you guys go on with your show. I'm going to, you know, jump off and let you go. But again. You're always my heroes. Thank you so much for everything you do. And you know I'm here to help, and I support you all 100%.
Well, thank you very much. And coming from you, Bettina Viviano, and folks, if you don't know who she is, a very powerful mover and shaker in Hollywood, California, a producer, and some films you'd know. But more importantly, a true patriot and a seeker of the truth. And I want to thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, guys. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Anna. Hey, back to natural-born citizenship and all that. No matter what happens with these cases, win or lose, and we do have a decent chance of winning one of these days, and we do have some good circumstances with a couple of cases, one of our benefits of doing this is to expose as many people as possible to what's happening. After last week's hearing, Associated Press put out a release. It appeared in over 200 newspapers. And it was a negative but somewhat objective account, so more people became aware of what was happening in the hearing. The blog sphere has done a tremendous job, but the mainstream media has not. But it's still starting to leak out. And in surveys I've seen, more than half of people, respondents to surveys now believe that there's some problem about Obama's eligibility. They don't know what it is. It could be bad documentation. It could mean he's a foreigner. We really don't know at this point. But if you'd like to help us support this case, the cost of this case so far is about what it costs to put a full-page ad in the New York Times, and it reaches a much classier demographic. So I think it's worth the investment in doing this just to get the word out, and there's also a chance we can win. Even if we lose this case, which we probably, we might not, it is very appealable because Mike and Larry have followed the law.
We're not going to lose.
Very good shot at doing this. If we don't, it's appealable. And
yeah.
Even
we need to raise money to constitutionactionfund.org to help pay for any additional expenses that could come up for a hearing regarding flying in witnesses and testimony and further transcripts that would have to be ordered. So it's going to be very expensive as we go on. And then, like I said, too, we do have appealable cases in other jurisdictions right now. We just need the funding to go ahead. So
whatever
you can contribute, we would greatly appreciate
saving
our country.
On this case, win or lose, there will be an appeal. If we win, the opposition will appeal. If we lose, we will appeal. So we do need funding to move to this next step.
And Larry Klayman is not doing this pro bono. He is not. We have to pay attorney fees, and he's enlisting other attorneys. He's enlisted other attorneys to help in this case. They need to get paid. It's an expensive case, but it's a very important case, and very worth getting the best people to work on it that we can.
I'd like to address that issue of the payment. Some people have criticized us because we're paying an attorney rather than have it done pro bono, that some other people are. But even the ones that are supposedly doing a pro bono, in many cases, are getting paid anyway, and expenses are being paid, and secondary attorneys are being paid.
Through nonprofits.
Larry spent his entire career doing public advocacy work, or mostly anyway, for subprime clients like us, which is why he doesn't have a $500,000 a year job where he can afford to do a lot of pro bono. So it's worth it to us to do it. In addition, he's giving us a fantastic deal. He has put in many, many sweat equity hours over and above what we're paying him for. And also his assistant, believe it or not, his name is Navid, is also putting in time as well. And he's being paid for that time. It's not free.
Well, he's Indian, by the way. He's not Arabic.
Okay.
He told me he's Persian. I met him.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Fine, young, recent
Persian,
graduate.
But he's not Arabic. He's Persian.
Right.
Yeah, he's a recent graduate of Claremont, I believe. A very sharp young man who's done a lot of the research on this case and worked with Mike and Larry. So you know, we would like to continue that. But I'm sure there's some questions on a lot of people's minds. I'm sure they've heard rumors that all this stuff is nonsense, that we're making it up, that's a conspiracy theory, that we're paranoid, that we're racist, that we're wing nuts, whatever. Let's go into a little bit about the foundation of this whole thing. It goes all the way back to the formation of the Constitution, where John Jay wrote a letter saying, hey, it would really be a good idea if we can help assure the allegiance of the president, chief executive of the United States, by ensuring that he's a natural-born citizen. And going all the way back to the Law of Nations by Vattel, at that time, a citizen, as opposed to a subject, like in Britain, was defined as someone born of the land of people, so born in the United States of two citizen parents. And that's been enshrined in settled law in cases like Minor versus Happersat and Venus, et cetera. It's actually in code for the Immigration and Naturalization Service. It's contained in many different places. And if you go on to ObamaBallotChallenge.com and go into the natural born citizenship section, there's some good reading material. And also look at the blog roll on that site and see other sites which expound upon that. Mike is an expert on that, too, in the last few years, as is Sam Sewell, who's our Florida Ballot Challenge manager, who's helped raise quite a bit of money for this case and has also done speeches and gone on the radio and written things about it, which you can read on the Obama Ballot Challenge site or his site as well, steadydripblogspot.com. So if you'd like to contribute money, you could either do it through ObamaBallotChallenge.com or ConstitutionActionFund.org. They both take you to the same page, which allows you to contribute money, and I'd ask you to please ask other people, too. So much for the commercial. But back to natural-born citizenship. Typically, our opposition tries to conflate the different types of citizenship, claiming, oh, well, he's a citizen, so he's eligible to be president. There are really three different levels of citizenship. You know, the highest level is a natural-born citizen, who someone has been here long enough so that their parents are American citizens, even if they weren't born here. If they're American citizens, that qualifies them, and they were also born in this country. Now, there have been some exceptions. For example, John McCain, who was declared a natural-born citizen in Resolution S-511, co-sponsored by Barack Obama, was actually born not on a base, but actually in the country of Panama. Yet he was ruled a natural-born citizenship through a non-binding, non-legal resolution that the Senate did, which was just a quid pro quo in order to give Obama a home-free pass to run as president.
And Hillary was on that commission, that committee, was she not?
Was?
Hillary.
Yes. She was one of the sponsors also.
I
don't remember, but I just, Obama stands out in my mind.
Yes, Obama was the main sponsor.
Claire McCaskill or something.
Yeah. McCaskill might have. On the other hand, though, you know, John McCain is a fifth-generation naval officer whose father was serving his country abroad, so giving him a pass is not something out of the realm of possibility to me. So that's a natural-born citizen. The next level down is a native-born citizen, someone who's born in this country, and under the current interpretation of the 14th Amendment, that could even be an anchor baby. They have citizenship, but that is not the same level as natural-born citizenship.
Right.
But the term natural-born citizenship is used once and only once in the U.S. Constitution, in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. Nowhere else. Other references to citizenship are different, and also references in settled law are different as well, with a few minor exceptions. So that's what a...
George, let me stop you for a second, okay, because concurrent with our program, we've got an active interactive chat room as well, okay? When you were talking and you mentioned Obama ballot challenge and eligibility, folks, did you hear this screech through your ear?
Headset.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a screech.
All right. Now this – look, folks, I want to tell you something, all right? And if you might think that I'm a conspiracy crackpot, okay? Speaking with Alex Jones, by the way, I'm going to be on InfoWars Nightly News next week. I believe it's Monday. I've got to double check. But Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones had an interview, which they digitized. When I say they, I'm talking about the people that have the ability to do so within our own government, digitize the interview. And that very noise you heard, this is the second or third program that that noise came through. And the last time, however, it was an extended noise, and you folks didn't hear it, the audience didn't hear it. I suspect that you probably heard this one, the audience did, based on the interactive chat. Mm-hmm. Folks, expect more of this. And I'm not trying to sound like a nut job or a nut bag, because it takes a lot to convince me that there's something funny going on here. But I've got to tell you, it would not surprise me one bit if, you know, we'd be talking to dead air in 15, 20 minutes. Just a heads up on that.
What I was told is, actually I'd heard that on Alex Jones, that they're able to go in and scramble the podcast so you can't hear certain sections of the discussion. So,
yeah.
But I did hear that distinctive loud screech noise that you mentioned.
I'm glad. I just want to memorialize this. I'm an investigator by profession, Mike. You don't know who I am, and Pam and Georgie. You know, you've got some familiarity with me, but 27 years in the business. Let's, you know, to memorialize the fact that we did hear this, and it's not something that's normal. I did check with our audio platform, and they had traced that to the last time this happened. They traced that to an outside influence. I'm not going to bother doing it again today. But, folks, anytime Obama's name comes up and the eligibility issue comes up or something to that effect, they feel threatened. I got to tell you, it's our side doing it, not their side. Our side meaning it's coming from inside this country. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, George, but I thought that was important because what I see going on.
I mean, the fact that you're being shut down is horrifying to me. I'm shocked, not surprised, because I've seen other instances, and I think we need to rally behind you and let us know when you have a new one set up, or if you need help doing that, I could probably find you some assistance.
Well, thanks to CanadaFreePress.com, and I've got to tell you, folks, if you haven't been up there, thanks to CanadaFreePress.com, they're probably the only reason we've lasted this long, and we will not be hosted in this country within 48 hours, I can guarantee you, because if it takes me all night tonight, I'm going to make sure that this site has no downtime. And then once we're up in a different country, we will expose the bastards behind what they're doing to this country, what they're doing to shows like this, what they're doing to people that attempt to get the truth out. And excuse my language, but I'm a very angry man at this point. George, again, go ahead and continue with your definitions. I think it's important for people to understand this.
First, I can remember when I was a kid that America was the bastion of the free press in the world, and now we have to go out of the country to do something like this. It's a very sad day indeed. But yeah, to summarize, we've gone through three levels of citizenship. The highest level, which I explained, was natural-born citizenship, which is called out in the Constitution in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. And by the way, it's pointed out to me also that the 12th Amendment extends that same requirement to the vice president as well. And we have a problem even within the Republican Party now with them considering at least two, if not more, ineligible candidates for vice president. Specifically right now, Marco Rubio and Bobby Jindal. Both fine men, fine Republicans, but unfortunately not eligible to run for the office. I have informed the Republican Party that the day that Marco Rubio is nominated for vice president is the day I leave the Republican Party permanently. It's on record now.
I will also challenge him in Florida.
Excellent. Okay. The last form of citizenship is naturalized citizenship. Someone who was born not a citizen, either because of geographical or parental reasons, can, under certain circumstances, under naturalization law, become a citizen with all the privileges of being a citizen, except for being the president of the United States. So those are the three levels of citizenship. So don't let yourself be confused or buffaloed by people conflating those different definitions, which are really quite different. It did not change as a result of the 14th Amendment, which freed the slaves. That's a red herring, folks. Don't be fooled by it for a moment. Now, our case really is what we call a two-pronged strategy in the eligibility thing. Some people think that the press will lead you to believe that this is all about a birth certificate and whether Obama was born in the United States. We don't know where the hell he was born, really. What we do know is he has not shown a shred of legal proof that he was born anywhere. Three different birth certificates, at least, have been proven forgeries, including the last one, which was placed on the WhiteHouse.gov website on April 27th, 2011. And within hours, it was proved by dozens of document experts that it was a fraud, and not a very good one at that. Sheriff Joe Arpaio only confirmed that and ran exhaustive tests to rule out every possibility that it is indeed a fraud. Therefore, he has no birth document that he's presented. Now, there's some talk about the so-called birth announcements. First of all, the birth announcements have never been proven to be valid. At the time, the two newspapers that supposedly published that were little more than supermarket tabloids, both sharing the same office in Honolulu, Hawaii. And incidentally, that document happens to be missing the name of the baby, the place of birth, and the address given, but otherwise it's pretty good. But we have a proven forged birth certificate. We have a proven forged selective service document.
Well, yes, and then you can also have a birth announcement put in for foreign births. Hawaii has specific statutes
and
that allow
foreign
births to be registered in Hawaii.
A short form birth certificate, which is actually called a certification of live birth, not a certificate of live birth, can be obtained only with an affidavit of a relative. And that was, in fact, very common practice. It was proven over and over again that thousands of people, possibly not born in the United States even, have received these documents.
Mike Zulo, lead investigator in the cold case posse for Sheriff Arpaio, he's found thousands of Japanese citizens that parents that registered their babies in Hawaii to give them U.S. citizenship.
Even though they weren't born there. Now, let's say for argument's sake that Barack Obama actually was born in Hawaii, or for that matter in the Lincoln bedroom of the White House with Jackie Kennedy attending in white gloves in 1961.
And Teddy serving the drinks.
He's still a natural born citizenship because of his father, because of the two-parent born in the U.S. rule. So we have a two-pronged strategy there. And
citizen rule, not born in the U.S. rule.
Citizens at the time
of the birth. They don't have to be born in the United States.
Now, the other thing is that we don't have to prove he was born anywhere. It's they who have to prove his birth and parented circumstances. Now that we've challenged him, the burden of proof is on them, which Michael Voltz and Larry Klayman are jumping on. Now that they've got their standing, Obama cannot prove eligibility.
But let me ask this to Mike. Mike, do you feel like they feel it's their burden of proof? I mean, they're walking around.
Well, after this next step, Mr. Hagman, then it will be their burden of proof. Then basically I have to get over this issue of, you know, they have said that that Barack Obama was not nominated or elected because there was no primary election in Florida because he was the only one on the ballot. And the Florida statutes,
right.
The Florida statutes say he was nominated specifically, but you know his attorneys are saying he was not nominated for president. They're conflating, as they usually do. They use word games, and they're conflating a general election with a primary election.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Do you agree that this one statement Larry Klayman made that was very important? He said to the judge and pleaded with him, he said, you need to take even ambiguous interpretations and interpret them in favor of the interests of the voter.
Right. Well, you know, basically what they're saying is that the voter has no standing to contest the eligibility of a candidate when there is no primary election, is basically what they're saying.
Right.
Which that is not the intent of the statute, because the statute specifically says election or nomination, and then says that if there is only one candidate on the ballot and the election is canceled, then the candidate shall be considered nominated. So that covers both sides, and that's the way the Florida statutes are written. And it's very plain, it's the plain language. And there's no way that I'm wrong.
When's the decision expected on this?
Well, we have to file the briefs by Monday, and then I would assume by that week sometime.
Okay.
You know.
What's this next brief regarding? I'm not sure.
The next brief is a proposed order of the court, which is a technique used consistently by Judge Terry Lewis. Basically, he has each side write a proposed order of the court in their, you know, from their perspective, and then he crafts his order based on those two.
Okay, it sounds like the judge is saying, to both sides. Tell me what you think I should do. And then
right, exactly. Exactly what he's doing. And that's what I've read about him that he does.
Okay.
You know, he's, and I feel like he was very on top of the issue in court. And, you know, I had a gut feeling that this judge will make the right decision.
Yeah, Mike,
would
you address your circle exclusion argument?
Yeah, well, you know, I became involved. One of the things I did when I became involved in this and started, you know, digging was looking at the Florida statutes, and I found, you know, Florida statute 99.021, section 2, which is a federal candidate oath of eligibility. And, you know, all federal candidates were, by Florida law, required to take this oath of eligibility saying they are eligible to the office to which they seek. Well, you know, I filed FOIA to the Department of State and asked...
That's a Freedom of Information Act request.
Right, and asked them, you know, for this oath for both Obama and McCain. And they told me they didn't have that oath. And I said, really? So, you know, back and forth for a long time with this attorney, Mr. Gary Holland from the Department of State, who, you know, he really did supply me with a lot of information. I thank him for that. You know, but, you know, he was very wrong in his estimation that the statute says that, you know, that statute doesn't apply to a presidential candidate. There's nothing in the Florida statutes back then in 2009, this was, that says that a presidential candidate or a vice presidential candidate does not have to take that oath. He was trying to say that the Presidential Preference Primary Committee, Section 103.101, determines eligibility, which is nonsense. But anyway, so it goes on from there. In 2011, Florida passed House Bill 1355. House Bill 1355 was a total revamp of Florida election law, signed by, you know, a supposed conservative, Mr. Governor Scott, okay? And deep inside that bill was the enactment of a new statute that says that the president and vice president don't have to take that oath.
Pretty much every state right now. In California, they don't have to sign a dang thing if you're with a recognized party. You don't have to sign anything to be
a political
parties
are trying
president.
To take over the whole eligibility issue. They're trying to take it over. Okay?
Right.
I had caught them because Florida statutes did not say that the presidential candidates did not have to take that oath. And Florida had been disobeying that law for many years. And I caught them. And they had to enact a law to make themselves legal.
Now, Mike,
these parties have taken over. The Democrat and Republican Party have taken over the process.
Mike?
Yes.
George, go ahead and repeat your question.
Mike, is it true that in order for us to win the case, we will have to have that law declared unconstitutional under Florida statutes?
Well, not to win that case, but I want to ask the judge to have that law eventually, or maybe after all is said and done, maybe that has to be done separately, to have that law declared unconstitutional, because Supreme Court precedent has said that the states have no power to appoint people who are not eligible by Article 2.
This is a very important point that Mike made. He documented this in an article he wrote called Circle of Exclusion, which appears on ObamaBallotChallenge.com that you should read.
Obama ballot. Please say it for me.
ObamaBallotChallenge.com.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. And folks, we will have this posted on our website, Obama ballot. Obama, yeah.
Ballotchallenge.com.
Thank you.
Now, we had to make a pretty big sacrifice to support the Florida case. Basically, what we had to do is, in effect, Deep Six our California case. Pamela Barnett has worked an incredible number of hours putting together what we call the Noonan versus Bowen case. Bowen is the Secretary of State. She's basically a George Soros Secretary of State in California who has blocked all of our attempts so far. And Pamela, could you briefly describe the case and where we were at right now on that?
Okay. Basically, in California, we do have a statute that we can sue to have the state act if an elector believes that an error is about to be made on a ballot. And so we basically sued to say the error was putting Barack Obama on the ballot because he's not constitutionally qualified for president. And then so we went through the whole process, and the judge pretty much misruled, completely conflated things, as George was saying earlier, conflated laws.
Right.
We weren't arguing that she was required to vet him. We were arguing that he wasn't qualified, and we had that right under that statute, and the judge totally ignored that. And he made the issue about saying, well, Secretary of State doesn't have any duty to vet presidential candidates, so therefore you don't have standing. It's dismissed.
Now, are you referring to Section 6901 in California Code?
No, it's not that one.
Which one is it?
I forget. I don't have it off the top of my head. We went in under that statute. Anyway, it's extremely appealable. Everything he ruled on is wrong, incorrect, errors everywhere. So we want to appeal it in California, but California is very expensive to appeal. Right off the bat, we need $755 just in court
fees.
Just
a file, yeah.
It's in filing fees.
That's
not even for an attorney. But it is very appealable. And it addresses a very important question because they relied on a prior ruling by the appeals court in California that it's only Congress that can vet presidential candidates. So that's completely wrong, and that needs to be appealed. And it is appealable, as the case that we brought up earlier, McPherson versus Blacker. And we used that in our case, and none of that was considered. So,
wow.
Very appealable, and it's a great case to appeal, actually. California has the largest amount
of electoral
votes.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Now, we're coming to the close of our program for tonight. I want to thank you three for appearing tonight. I want to thank you three for your efforts into the larger case, and that's the case against this usurper in the White House, this fraud, this... Exactly. Well, I mean, we really don't even know what his legal name is. Is that a fair statement, you three?
Oh, absolutely. We don't know what his legal name is. I really, you know, if he was born in Hawaii, I think that one of the reasons why he'd want to hide the birth certificate is because it would have the name Barry Soetoro on it, being adopted by an Indonesian immigrant. And it doesn't, having an Indonesian father didn't play into his narrative of being black by having an Indonesian father. So he needed to have the African father on the birth certificate. So if he was born in Hawaii, I think really that it would just show that he had another foreign father, and that would be Lolo Soetoro would be the name on the birth certificate.
Yeah, there's been a lot of
he was born there.
different theories about who his father might be or wherever he was born. We're really less interested in that than the fact that he hasn't proven he was born anywhere legally.
Well, the bottom line, and Mike, I think you as a businessman, I think you as a plaintiff, you as an interested party, Mike, I think you'd agree, as well as Pam and George, the bottom line here, it's all about allegiance, isn't it? I mean, when you come right
allegiance.
Down to it.
Yes.
It's all about allegiance. So let me give you one more little lesson about the Constitution, okay? Article 2, Section 1, Clause 4. It's Clause 4 now because they moved the old Clause 3 to the 12th Amendment, which is the Electoral College. But it describes a point in time, one point in time, in 1789 when the Constitution was ratified. There were only two sets of citizens. There were those that were present in the colonies that were citizens of the new states, okay? And there were those that were born of those new citizens since the Declaration of Independence. Those were the natural-born citizens.
Right.
There were only two sets of citizens at that point in time, and that's what that clause is describing. There were no naturalization laws at that time. There were no other citizens at that time, at that point in the Constitution. And that clause has never been amended. It has never been amended. If you look at revised statutes from 1873, which was what Congress thought of what a natural-born citizen was, okay? Revised statutes, 1873, they have an annotated constitution along with the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation. They included all the original papers of and the governance of the United States, and they annotated the Constitution and annotated the Article 1, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 4 was
right.
English versus Sailors of Trustees of Snug Harbor. And in that case, a child born after the Declaration of Independence of a British subject father, one who adhered to the British at that point in time in 1789, one who adhered to the British and was a British subject, was considered British.
Okay.
There is no way that that child could be considered a natural-born citizen. There is no way that the founders thought that someone born of a British subject father could be a citizen or a natural-born citizen of the United States.
Nor would it
and
be in the best interest of this country to elect one as president either. I mean, to take it to the full extent which we're going.
Exactly. But you got to understand that point is in time is described by Article 2, Section 1, Clause 4. That point in time, there were only two sets of citizens in the United States. There were those that were citizens of the states at that point in time where they became citizens of the United States and threw off British subjectship, okay? They were allowed by the Treaty of Peace to throw off being a British subject. They were U.S. citizens. And then there were those who were born of those citizens after the Declaration of Independence. Those were the only two citizens of the United States. That clause has never been amended. It means the same as it did then.
Interesting.
The only natural-born citizens were those born of U.S. citizens. And those were the and at that point in time, people were not old enough who were natural-born citizens to be president. They were at most 13, 14 years old. So the citizens of the states were grandfathered in until those natural-born citizens became old enough. The first natural-born citizen was Van Buren, who was born in New York in 1881, of citizens of New York. He
wow.
was the first natural-born citizen. I believe he was the eighth president. The second one was John Taylor, who was, I believe, the 12th president.
You know, I got to say, to you, sir, you've done your homework, and you would be a very formidable adversary in court. Since I spend a lot of my time in court as well, you've done your homework, and when you say that there's that you will prevail, and that this is different, I got to tell you, I at first I was a little bit hesitant, but right now, I got to tell you, my friend, you sound like you've got it together, and I wish you the best.
And, what it really comes down to is the judge, because
true.
He has standing and has the law on his side. Now,
yeah.
Now it's the judge's job to rule according to the law.
Well,
you know, once I get past Pamela, this little standing issue about whether Obama was nominated, then it's game on. Then it is game on, and I will present all these arguments that are irrefutable, okay? Irrefutable. There is no way that I am wrong, okay? That point in time illustrates the Constitution in the light of day. You know, a light bulb should go off in your head that those were the only two U.S. citizens at that time. And the only natural-born citizen was one born of those citizens that were declared citizens. They were the first naturalized citizens, were those citizens declared citizens because they were citizens of the states, even if they were born British subjects before the Declaration of Independence, or if they were born elsewhere and they decided to come live in the United States. Those were the first citizens of the United States, and they were eligible, grandfathered in. But the first natural-born citizens were the children of those first citizens, and they were the only citizens at that time in 1789, and that is an irrefutable fact.
And that, my friends, is Mike C. Volz, and again, how would you like to have him as your client if you're an attorney? Yeah, I guarantee you, Mike would teach you a few things. Pamela, I'm going to move to you very quickly. ObamaBallotChallenge.com. I got it right this time. ObamaBallotChallenge.com and ConstitutionActionFund.org. We're going to post them on our website at HomelandSecurityUS.com and make this interview available for everyone again on the archives. But closing thoughts, Pamela.
I would just like to ask your listeners to spread the word about these legal actions that we're taking and will continue to take until we expose Barack Obama for the ineligible and now proven criminally complicit resident in the White House. And
that's right.
We're going to keep going, but what we need help from citizens out there to contribute and ask others to contribute to the cause. We created a nonprofit, ConstitutionActionFund.org. Right now, donations are not tax deductible. It's just a nonprofit, and it's formed in Florida. And also, just wanted to say that this speaks to the fact that there's huge loophole in our democracy regarding vetting presidential candidates.
Yeah, apparently.
And, you know, that's the book that I'm still writing right now, is Never Vetted. And I have absolutely proven that that these presidential candidates and other federal candidates do not even have to go through a background check.
Sure.
So people that work in the White House have to get a background check, like people that the president appoints, janitors, et cetera. They have to get background checks, but the president of the United States does not have to get a background check.
That's amazing.
The person with the finger, on the nuclear codes, with the nuclear football controlling the largest economy in the world, does not have to go through a background check. And that's how we were able to get somebody in there with no identity papers. He didn't have to sign a federal I-9 form either.
That's,
so
that's
never
true.
Had to prove that he's even a citizen of the United States, and he's working in the White House as the president of the United States.
One thing I forgot to ask you, if the bottom falls out on everything in terms of your attempts, Mike, You got any predictions as to will Obama, if your case goes south, if all the cases go south, what's your prediction, or do you prefer not to say about the election of 2012, presidential election?
I don't think he'd run if he couldn't win, or if he was told he wouldn't win.
If
you know,
totally
both sides are, you know, against we the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's running because he's going to win if he's allowed to run. And my object is to prevent him from running. If he is left off of the Florida ballot, he will not win.
That I agree with, yeah.
Yeah, and in the process, like George Miller keeps bringing up, is that we're exposing him more and more along the way. More and more people are seeing the fraud that he is.
They are, because you know what? I had a fraternity brother that I haven't seen in 30 years contact me on LinkedIn saying that he saw me on the news. So apparently, I think I had an AP interview. I think it was a guy from AP interviewed me after the trial, and I told them how Barack Obama was exactly the type of man that the founders were preventing from the office. And, you know, he was kind of negative, and they kind of attacked me, but, you know,
hey,
the word is out there.
The word is out
and
there. Mike, we're up against it. I want to give George a couple of minutes here. George, your closing thoughts.
Right. Well, first I want to thank very much for Mike Foltz coming on the program. He's certainly one of the best plaintiffs I've ever seen. The only one even close, really, probably was Mr. Kirshner, although we've had some other very impressive ones, too. I want to thank Pamela for everything she's done, going all the way back to 2008 and being plaintiffs in different suits and founding Obama Ballot Challenge and inexhaustible energy to go all over the country. I want to thank Doug for having us on the show again. He's certainly one of the more knowledgeable hosts I've ever worked with in radio. I apologize that Larry wasn't here. I'm sure it was for a very good reason. I try to get in touch with him, but his phone mail is full.
He's a busy man.
I was just so impressed with the hearing on Monday. Folks, if you have a chance, go on ObamaBallotChallenge.com after you've contributed. Look at the video from the hearing. It was really very well done indeed. I also want to thank our 130 supporters of this case that donated between $5 and $5,000 each. Please ask your friends to help us out. This stuff can't be done for free. We really need your help. I also want to thank the other attorneys and plaintiffs who have paved the way and helped us learn what we needed to know to get here. Hopefully we'll do the same for them.
All right.
Tonight we told you what natural-born citizenship is and, more importantly, why it's so important to our country. We told you why our case is a valid case and how we can win it, and we told you why we need your help. Thank you very much, everyone.
All right, folks, thank you so very much for appearing. That was George Miller and Mike Foltz and Pamela Barnett, true American heroes. Let me tell you, they are absolutely some of the greatest people you can, the true soul of the earth people. And folks on hold, I apologize if I did not get to you. Well, obviously, I did not. I just want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, at the close of this program tonight, this was a very intense program, a lot of information. Please spread the word about Obama Ballot Challenge. I'm sorry, I'll put it up on the website, but I got to tell you this. No one is going to stop us from getting the information out there. No one, absolutely no one. And we will prevail in whatever it takes, whatever we need to do. No one is going to shut us up, whether it be on the radio or website or whatever. And I cannot thank you, our listeners, enough. I used to think it was all theatrics when Glenn Beck would tear up on his show. Maybe it was. I don't know. But I could tell you this. Last night's program, we dealt with some pretty heavy-duty information. Those tears and those emotions were real. And tonight, that anger was real. And that just, I guess the only thing I can say is the fact that we've got the fight of our life on our hands, and they've brought it to us. Now we've got to respond. And you know what? As long as we stick together, not going to hang separately. So that's the important thing. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for everything. And, you know, it's again, please, if you like the program, do what you can to support it. If you like the program, tell a family member or relative, hey, burn off a disc or a thumb drive or whatever you put, one of those iPod things, you know, you plug in, and spread the word. And that's all I ask. Well, I want everyone to have a great weekend. Tomorrow I'll be attending my son's wedding. I gave him a pair of track shoes and his passport and a map to Mexico, but I don't think he appreciated that too much. So anyway, he'll be back later next week. In the meantime, I'll be filling in for him. God bless you, folks, and God bless, and God keep everyone safe. I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Good night, everyone.